Palm Sunday. Praise God. Can we worship him this morning? Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. You are such a great God to us. And we pray that you would just meet us in this place today. Touch hearts. Touch our lives, Lord. Touch our bodies for those that are sick today, Lord. Reach down in Jesus' precious name that you would show us your greatness as a shepherd, Lord. We give you all praise and glory in the name of Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Praise God. We are continuing in our series, in our devotionals, looking at a glimpse of the Word made flesh. And that's where we are today, talking about probably one of my favorite subjects. I say every subject is my favorite subject. I do this with devotionals. They're my favorite devotionals. The Good Shepherd. And really, this is, yeah, I'm teaching this today, but any one of us could teach this today. Really, the Good Shepherd. It's just amazing, wonderful, beautiful for all of us. And as we listen and study today's lesson, I trust that God will give you and me a fresh revelation, illumination of who he is as our shepherd and who we are as his sheep. We are very special to the Lord, more than we could ever imagine. We're not just special. He gave his life for us. That is huge. When I think of what society does today for lives, and the most atrocious story in the news this week, I did share it at our birthday celebration yesterday, but then I went, let's talk about something happy after that, that a mother would leave her infant child for 10 days alone with two bottles and go to Mexico and have a vacation and come back and find her child dead. And she's sentenced to life. You know what? I think, oh my word. You know what? This is Satan kills, steals, destroys. And this is what the Lord is the total opposite of. He is our good shepherd. He does nothing but good for us. And that's how he loves us so terribly much. And today, the key verse is John 10:11. It says, I am the good shepherd. Good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Praise God. He's good. Our icebreaker question today, and I did ask my husband on the way, I said, it's always hilarious to hear the answers. I love it. I love it. He makes me laugh and smile. If you could have any job in the Bible, what would you have done? Ooh. I wrote a list of all the jobs that I thought of right off, you know, like any job. Like if you could be a baker, a butler, cupbearer, cook, fisherman, hunter, shepherd, farmer, king, queen, governor, soldier, jailer, scribe, carpenter, coppersmith, merchant, potter, tent maker, apothecary, banker, teacher, singer, musician, priest, prophet, and my husband's judge. So that was him sharing there. Okay. What job would you have had?
I would be a seller of purple.
Oh, yes. Absolutely, a seller of purple. We'll call you Lydia. No. That's awesome. Who else would like to? No? Oh, yes, sister. Oh, yes. Praise God. And you are that today, sister. So praise God. Praise God. Yes, brother. And you are that today. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Yes, a merchant. Yes, sis. Yes. Yes, absolutely. I love that. And you are that. So, isn't that amazing? Wow. Anyone else want to jump in? What job would you have chosen if you were living in Bible times? Yes, sis.
I think I'm
Yes.
Maybe I need a little bit more Mary.
They work so.
It's easy to fall into one or the other.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. No one else? You girls don't want to jump in on this? Young ladies, sorry. Brother? What? Okay. Okay. I love that segue. Did you girls decide you want to be queens? Yes. Yes. Oh. You want to be Esther? Oh, wow. Wow. For such a time as this. Amen. And thank God that we are here in 2024 for such a time as this. God has a specific plan, a specific purpose. And maybe it's not revealed to us completely, right? But you know what? We can trust him completely, and he will in time give us revelation when he chooses for that. Whatever, just do like God says to do and be faithful. Be a faithful servant. The word of God teaches us about the good shepherd, and that's our lesson today. The well-being of the sheep was because of the shepherd. And so I'm going to teach a lot about the sheep and the shepherd today. And I do have a coworker who has 6 sheep. And I asked him, I said, Frank, do you love your sheep? He goes, I wouldn't say love. And I was like, well, what a, and then he said, as soon as I can shear them this spring, I'm going to let them grow a fluffy little coat, and I'm going to sell them. He's got 6. I think they were gifted to him. God bless, right? Oh, wow. I thought there would be more love in that, you know, more love and care. He says he loves taking care of them, especially in the winter, because it gives them something to do. I was like, okay. You know, one of the most quoted and well-known scriptures in the whole Bible would be Psalms 23. We can probably agree on that. David wrote this famous psalm, and this is the psalm he wrote. And we know it, and you can say it with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Think about it. That boy becoming a shepherd, taking care of the sheep on a hillside, likened God, God Almighty of the whole universe, the God of Israel, who he knew, to a shepherd, which just gives me a little bit of a goosebump feeling, because a shepherd and we are the sheep, and talks about this care, this love, this I will lay down my life for these sheep. I will fight a bear for these sheep. I will fight a lion for these sheep. I will lay in the gate that is open between the rocks that surround these sheep to protect these sheep. That we're looking at a shepherd and sheep, but think about this, church. This is our God. This is our God, who were, and David, although he was a shepherd, and you know, he would watch these sheep, he would watch the signs of the seasons, he would look at the night sky and see the stars. He didn't have a telescope like we have today to see beyond what we see right with our eyes here, the stars, the galaxies. He didn't know about this, but at that time, he knew God. He knew that God was great enough to take care of anything, and he was trusting God for anything. I love that. Millions of people have memorized this passage in Psalm 23. Millions. From generation to generation, they've used it for times of trials, when they've had hard times, when there's sickness and illness, even those that are dying. Sometimes that will be the last scripture that they ever speak or someone speaks over them that they audibly hear is Psalms 23. And for some reason, this scripture, thankfully, has been such a source of inspiration, encouragement, and that, I'm sure, is exactly what David meant for himself and for whoever was going to read it after. Those first few words, David proclaimed, "The Lord as a shepherd that sustains us." Imagine him on that hillside long ago, him and God and the sheep. He was with God first. He was with these sheep, the God of Israel. As he thought about this relationship, this covenant that he had with the Almighty God, and he took this analogy of a shepherd and a sheep and gave it to us today as our shepherd, our Lord, and us being the sheep. Praise God. It's amazing that the Lord would call himself our shepherd. Because in Israel, ancient societies, we talked about jobs, the shepherd's work was considered the lowest of all the jobs. If a family needed a shepherd, it was the youngest son, like David, who got the job, right? It wasn't the oldest, it was the youngest. The great God of the universe, he takes care of us like a shepherd taking care of his sheep. And David said, "He is my shepherd." There was something so personal about it. It wasn't foreign to him. It was so real and personal. And I would just think of that faith that he must have had. And I guess you could say David knew God was taking care of him when he called him my shepherd. And that was a key word. He wasn't just saying he is the shepherd, right? He's my shepherd. And you know what? I guess, you know, in churches everywhere, we want to have relationship, covenant with him, the creator of the universe and everything that we see and feel and hear in this world. He's the one, right? We want to have that relationship. And that is personal. It's between myself and my Lord. And it's got to be that way. I know families can be, and I'm so thankful for the Glover family that you have had this great celebration, this great time together. I have been so thankful that you've been all able to be together and just share life together. It's good to have that personal relationship. To lie down in green pastures, it says in Psalms 23. And from what I've read, sheep do not just easily lie down unless specific conditions are met. I was like, okay, because they are timid, they're not going to lie down if they're afraid. Interesting, right? Hey, we are sheep, right? Bah, bah. There was a song I loved in Sunday school. I just want to be a sheep, bah, 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 bah. I just want to be a sheep, bah, 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 bah. Praise the Lord, my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, bah, 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 bah. Right? I love that. It was fun. We taught the kids that in Sunday school. Okay, so they're not going to lie down if they're afraid. Think about us. Hey, you know what? He is our shepherd. Because they are social animals, they're not going to lie down. I thought this was very interesting. If there's friction among the sheep. Interesting. I was like, well, okay. If there's parasites troubling them, they're not going to lie down. And if they're anxious about where their next meal is coming from, their food, they're not going to lie down. They want to eat. Rest comes because of the shepherd. The shepherd has taken care of the fear. He's taken care of the anxiety. He's taken care of the friction. He's taken care of the food need, right? Doesn't that sound like our Heavenly Father? It sounds like our God. He's so big and so mighty. There is nothing he cannot do. This beautiful psalm teaches us so much. I mean, we can go on. But the main point is that the way that David wrote about this is a relationship that a shepherd has with sheep. And that's what he wrote about his relationship with God and our relationship with God. The consistent thing between that relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is something, it's like, oh, hey there, come on, little one. I love you, little one. It's that voice, right? The shepherd's voice. The sheep knew the shepherd's voice. And if someone else came in to imitate that voice, nope, not. That's when they're going to become afraid. They're not going to lay down. They're going to be like, just nervous and anxious, fearful. They knew the shepherd's voice, that consistent voice. It was the countless hours, the countless days that the shepherd spent with the sheep. The countless nights. Stuff happens at night, doesn't it? Yeah, stuff happens at night. Our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is always on call, 24/7. It doesn't matter. We can call out to him in the middle of the night when we have a need, a fear, we're anxious, we're worried, we're concerned. It doesn't matter. We are able to, it's like a call a friend. He is our friend. Anytime. Getting to know his voice, each individual sheep individually knew his voice, which is amazing and beautiful. The shepherd would, the Bible says, give his whole life's work to care for the sheep. His whole life's work. This would consume his life. The sheep were everything to the shepherd. Everything with an apostrophe. Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. That's who he is. And may God allow us to hear his voice when he speaks to us individually. Yes, he does speak to us collectively. Thank God. He blesses us. The preached word. He does. The taught word. He's not just the good shepherd. He is our good shepherd. And I can say today, he is my good shepherd. And I'm so thankful for that. And it's been many, many years. And it made me to remember that teenage girl that was asked to leave my family's home because I went to church. And when my mom asked me that, I said, I had just received the Holy Ghost. I was excited about God, studying his word, praying in my room like a fiend when everyone else is listening to whatever rock music and whatever. When she asked me that, I said, Mom, I love you right now more than I've ever loved you before. But I said, I'm going to live my life for Jesus Christ. And she said, okay, you can pack your bags and leave. I tell you what, at that moment, I probably felt the most alone that I thought I'd ever felt. I thought, that's it. So I started packing my bags and moving out. And I took my beautiful bedroom set that my grandmother had given to me, and it was just comforting to have my own bed and dresser and all these things with me in my apartment. No kitchen things, no living room things, no dining room things, but I had a bedroom. Praise God that it was set up, you know, and I was very comfortable. That's when I got to know him as my shepherd. It wasn't until then. That was it. And I probably really needed that. Maybe something would have drawn me outside of Christ if I had not had that big step. And it wasn't big? Yeah, it was big because I had my bestie, Jill. And Jill came up to me and said, Sharon, I don't know what happened to you, but something has happened. And it kind of scares me a little bit. And I'm almost afraid to spend any... We didn't spend any time together. And she was my bestie. But you know what? Through the years, and it's been many years, we still write at Christmas time and share pictures and letters, and thank God she is in a church, not like we are in church. She loves God and serves God for what she knows, and I'm thankful for that because she didn't have that when we were in high school. But there is something that each one of us have to have, this hunger, this desire to have the Lord as our own personal shepherd, because nobody else can do it for us. The teacher, the pastor, whoever is your elder, leader, mentor, cannot do this for you. It has to be individual. And so thankful that he continues to compare this shepherd relationship to his sheep. And in John 10, 7 through 9, it says this, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If by any means enter, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." He teaches of this role of the shepherd, and he teaches us, too, the difference between the true shepherds and the false shepherds. The Lord tells us how the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. The hired hand is only hired to watch the sheep. When something happens and something comes in, like a wolf, that hired person is not going to lay down his life for the sheep. And this is something the shepherd would do because he bought the sheep, get this, with a price, with a very precious price. And he revealed his true identity by teaching that role over and over through scriptures. I mean, it starts in the Old Testament. We see it, just bits and scriptures going through the New Testament. John 10, 10 and 11 says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." And then he said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. For I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And I was thinking of robbers and, you know, our stories in the Bible. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Story in Luke where we find a man going to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Jericho, and the man was attacked by robbers. He was stripped and beaten. A priest and a Levite came by without helping him. Oh. But the Samaritan stopped and cared for him, took him to an inn, took care of him, pays for his care. You know what? The robbers come to steal, kill, destroy. That's what Satan does. He comes to kill. He's not playing games with our soul. He comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. And that is the total opposite of our good shepherd, the Lord. He does nothing but give good gifts to us. The robbers, the thieves, they have their own agenda, and it's about them. And Satan has his own agenda, and it's about him. John 10, 3 says, Jesus said this, that the shepherd calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Praise God. What does our name sound like when he calls us by name? He loves us. He gives, he guides, he protects, he heals, he shows mercy to us. Thank God he does that. John 10, 11, 12, and 13 says, "But he that is a hireling," that's the hired worker, "is not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeing the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." The hireling comes and does not care for the sheep. That's the one that comes. It's a hired person to do this job. He's not the true shepherd. The true shepherd protects and will defend the sheep at all cost. There's nothing that shepherd will not do to save those sheep, even risking his own life. The Bible says he gave his life, laid it down for us. Unlike the hired worker, the hired hand, Jesus will never abandon us. Thank God. Thank God he's still our good shepherd today. You probably can remember a time when your good shepherd eased your troubled mind in the middle of a night when you had a specific prayer request. I say the middle of the night because things happen. He eased your mind and gave you a spirit of peace when there shouldn't have been any peace. He gave you sleep when you should not have slept. You should have been awake pacing. But everything that everyone else said is opposite of what he gave you, the shepherd. And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we have those benefits every day, every night. He gives that to us. It's not a one time, okay, you got it. That's your, you're done now. No, it's all the time. He is our good, good shepherd. To hear his voice. And then I thought, how sweet, even better to hear his voice and listen to his voice. Hear it. He speaks to us. We listen to him. You know, David's relationship with God, I was like, okay. it was great until it wasn't great. And in our Bible reading, thank God for Bible reading, because it does enrich every day of our lives, because it is alive and living. The Bible says, in the spring of the year when kings go out for war, what was David doing as king? He wasn't going out for war. He was meeting someone on a rooftop, or desiring to meet someone on a rooftop, and then he did. So there started a journey, that little downward journey of Bathsheba, her husband being murdered, the child, the death of the child. And finally, there was repentance, thank God, after the prophet Nathan came. But there is something in our spirits that we've got to have, is that ability to not only receive, yes, God's word, but the ability to repent of our sins. Because our sin is never going to go to heaven. Sin and us together are not going to heaven. Eternity is not for sin. It's for sinless. John 10, 14, 16 says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, the Gentiles. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Praise God. Our relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, it's mutual. It goes both ways. He knows us, but we need to know him. We have absolutely got to know him. And there's got to be this hunger. And when the hunger is not there, things die. When you don't eat and when you don't drink, you die. So there's got to be this tenacity for the voice of God. I've got to hear the voice of God. I've got to listen to the voice of God. I've got to have God in my life. And then I say, is it fresh? Is it new? Or is it like old stale bread? Is it old and nasty? Is it starting to grow mold? What? Okay, we have two fabulous little dogs at home. And I thought of them during this. Oh, these two little doxies are so great. We just love them. You know, I love them sometimes at a distance, more so when they're constantly attached to me, like all the time. But I can't help but notice when it's time to eat, and if we forget, God forbid, there is something that happens. Well, there's many things. We do have a bell on our banister that goes down the stairs, and we taught our dog a long time ago, ring the bell to go outside, ring the bell for food, ring the bell for treat. Now the dog will ring the bell for play, whatever. But he'll ring the bell, he'll come around, he kind of circles you. And then they'll start licking your leg. And I'm like, and then they just bump you with their nose, bump you. And it doesn't stop until you feed them. Because they know what time 12 o'clock is, and they know what time 5 o'clock is. They know. You know what? The Psalms 42 says it like this. As a deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth. Get that? For God, for the living God. Praise God. And, you know, It's got to be that way. We've got to have that desire to not only hear his voice, to be fed from him, to glean from him. We grow from him, or we shrink. We grow. We have to grow. The question about hearing and recognizing God's voice has been asked through the ages, forever. How do I hear God's voice? When do I hear God's voice? Right in the very beginning, Adam and Eve heard God's voice in the garden. And we know the story. Samuel heard God's voice, but he didn't recognize it until he was instructed by Eli. God is still speaking in 2024 to his people, his sheep. And thank you, Lord. One of the greatest ways is through his written word, through the word of God. And thank God that we have, I don't know what program you're doing, bread program, reading, but the word of God every day. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. It literally cleans the atmosphere in your home. Read it out loud. It like cleans. It spiritually cleanses. It does. If you could just even read it out loud or listen to it audibly or read it, just get it into your soul. That's where our soul is fed and where we're going to be nourished. I'm so thankful. Aligning ourselves or positioning ourselves so that we can hear, we can see, be used by God. Aligning ourselves to the word of God. He will speak, thank God, to us through his spirit. Praise God, the preached word. Another scripture for a reason to read God's word in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Nobody else can do that. God does that. Knowing the shepherd's voice is really beautiful. It's beautiful. It's a gift, really. We can discern what is right and what is wrong. He leads us. And that's a very special place to be in when you're being led. Sometimes you're like, oh, no, Lord. But you know what? Part of the journey in being led sometimes is that discomfort is being able to adapt to the discomfort when God is leading you, because it will make you stronger. At the time, it's horribly it's uncomfortable. But who is your God? Who are you trusting in? And it's like, okay, it's uncomfortable for me in my flesh. Yes. In my spirit. Yes. But God is able to do all things. And he will take us through those times. I love that the Lord's voice in our lives, like the shepherd's voice to the sheep, is of the utmost importance. Because there's a cry from the voice of the shepherd that will save the sheep in an instant. Okay, I'm going to go back to my doxies again. We have a neighbor that drives super fast and comes into the neighborhood very fast. And if they're outside when we're coming in or out of the garage, I usually have them run around a little bit. But in the spring, they're so rambunctious right now. They'll just take a bolting run to the end of the driveway. And I'm like, Kirby, Willie, stop, come home. Like, I mean, and there's a urgency in my voice a lot more than that, because I'd be like, and you know what, they know it. I had to do it yesterday, and I was like, oh my word, my neighbor's gonna run over my dogs or dogs. And so that voice, because I'd been calling them like, Kirby, Willie, come, you know, this nice call, nothing. It's like they put little something on their ears and they couldn't care less. And I was like, finally I had that cry that was, it was urgent. They came. But that's like the shepherd and the sheep. There is a cry that he will call us. And if we're listening and discerning in God's spirit, we're going to go, whoo, I better listen to that. And there are consequences, yes, for not listening. God is merciful, thank God. But there's a cry, the world is crying to get our attention. And it's loud. It's like cymbals loud. Sometimes you can't even turn it off if you're in a, like sometimes stores. The music's so ungodly loud and terrible. But society is crying out for our attention. Saints of God, there has got to be an awareness in our spirit that has always gonna, that's always going to say, what does thus say the Lord over all that crying, loud, cymbal, nasty, whatever sound? What does the Lord say? What is the Lord trying to say to our hearts instead of listening to what society in the world wants from us? Because you know what? They want something from us. And it's an eternal something from us that they want. It's not temporary. It sounds like fun. Maybe it might feel cuddly and warm for a little bit. It's not. It's demonic and horrible. And there's no place for it in the child of God's life. In our personal relationship and that covenant with God, there really should be nothing that would ever get in the place of that relationship. And we can get in the place where we let some things in, and we may miss some of that time in that time with God. But when you look at it in the eyes of eternity, we can't afford to miss out. We can't afford to miss out on fellowship with Him. We can't afford to make that wrong decision that one time, because it could make the difference between eternity in hell or eternity in heaven. He reveals Himself to us as a good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You know, David, remember him? He rescued that sheep from the mouth of the lion, from the claws of the bear. David, he risked his own life. This is like our Lord. Selfless, giving. And that shepherd's job makes caring for the sheep number one priority over anything else. Number one priority. The care, the direction, the provision. When we're not well, like we've been not well, I thought I was over it. And then two nights ago, it started just coming down my throat again. I was like, what? Where'd that come from? But, you know, our Lord, He emphasizes the good shepherd's motivation. And as we come to a little bit of a close in this lesson, I want to tell you the motivation. It's this. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Our good shepherd's motivation is love. L-O-V-E, love. He loves the sheep. And in, I took this from the Message, Pastor, because I know it's, and I thought, wow, this is really good. 1 Corinthians 13:1, just reading. If I could speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't have love, I'm nothing but a creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all His mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake or to be burned as a martyr, but I don't have love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. And this is just so beautiful and powerful. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others, praise God, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, God's truth, plus puts up with everything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps on going till the end. What a beautiful illustration of love. Beautiful. Love it. The shepherd, he knows his sheep. Romans 5:8 tells us that God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise God. I'm so thankful that he knows each one of us personally. And so many people have quoted Psalms 23 like we did at the beginning. The Lord is my shepherd. It doesn't mean that I own him. It means that he owns me. He owns me. The shepherd owns the sheep. We are his property. We are his. We're not like where the hireling comes in and the wolves come in and abandons everything. That's because the shepherd cares for the sheep. David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. And he proclaims that in the midst of hectic places in life, with all of the stress and all of the chaos, God causes us with peace and trust in him to lay down in choice places where sheep can graze, they can eat, they're safe, they're not afraid. It's a good place. He's a good shepherd. So thankful that he provides for us, and he's relentless in our love towards us, in our care towards us, and fending off evil, fending off bad. He is relentless. So thankful. Almost there. One of the most beautiful parables in the Bibles is that of the lost sheep, right? About his great compassion, huge compassion. And he uses the example of if a shepherd lost one sheep, what does he do? Does he just leave it and say, man, I've got these 99, I'm good? He goes and gets that one sheep. Whatever it takes, if he has to carry it back, he carries it back joyfully. If it's got a broken leg or it's hurt, he finds the missing sheep. He rejoices over it. Why? Because that sheep, one sheep, is precious to him. One sheep. We are so precious to him. And of all of the occupations in the Bible, it was the shepherds that were the ones that were able to spread the joy of the arrival of our Lord. Maybe it's because of their humility, their job. I don't know. But praise God. That's such a huge sense of security the sheep have, being guided by the shepherd, that they're guided to a place that the shepherd is trusting them for care, good care, everything that they need. He's there for them. God, John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Being the good shepherd, and I had a scripture in Revelation. I'm just going to read the very, very last part of it in Revelation 7 and 16. It says, never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Praise God. Church, aren't you so glad that he is our good shepherd? Love you today. God bless you today for the rest of the day and this week. He's got you. He's a good God. Amen.